Can more parts of our body become congested than just our sinuses? My name is Dawn Culp. I'm a certified hypnotherapist, Reiki master teacher, meditation coach, and owner of the Zen Room in Gilroy, California. You can also find us online at www.thezenroom.net. And today we're going to be talking about energy congestion. Hi everyone, and thanks for tuning in to another episode of the Zen Room. So today's podcast, as I mentioned at the top, is all around congestion. So when we hear the word congestion, for the most part, what people think of is sinus congestion. So if I Google congestion, the first thing that pops up is nasal congestion. It is when your nose becomes stuffed up and inflamed. A cold, a flu, sinus infection can all cause stuffy noses. Congestion is just basically backup of the sinuses for a number of reasons. We are all familiar with the term congestion as it relates to the sinuses. Now, if I were to take it to the freeways and say, oh, there's a congestion near 101 and 85, you would go, oh, that means there's a backup. That means there's a system backup. Too many cars all trying to get home at the same time, and there's two freeways converging, making it a horrendous intersection. Congestion. Okay, good. We get it when we talk about traffic congestion. What I'm talking about is energy congestion. Now, in order to have that conversation without having a certain percentage of you listeners rolling your eyes going, oh my gosh, I have to first introduce the idea, if you haven't already considered it, that we are energy beings. We are not just a bag of bones and flesh and organs. We are energy beings. The energy is what animates us. If anybody has ever been in a room when someone has passed over, you will notice that all of a sudden, what used to animate them has gone. It was really interesting. I've got a girlfriend who lives in Hawaii, and she called me, and she had said she had the most interesting conversation with her daughter. I think her daughter at the time was maybe 3 years old, maybe four. And she had to sit down and tell her daughter that a very dear relative or loved one had just passed away. And, you know, at 3 or 4 years old, you're very careful with your language. And she had told her daughter, you know, so-and-so has passed away. And the little girl looked at the mom and said, well, what does that mean? And she did the best to describe what, you know, how you would explain passing over to any 3 or 4 year old. And the little girl just stopped and she looked at her mom and she says, no, mom, that's not what happened. So-and-so ran out of energy. And she, as the mom, was like, what? So she called me and she's like, I just heard my daughter give the most interesting definition for death, which was, so no, mom, that's not what happened. She ran out of energy. And I thought, wow, out of the mouth of babes, first of all, what an interesting way to look at it. Second of all, so, and of course the 3 or 4 year old was, you know, she received the information very well. The way that she intellectualized it made sense to her, and it wasn't a scary conversation at all. And I thought, like I said, that's an interesting way of thinking about it. So if we can look at ourselves as being energy beings first, meaning it's what animates us, it is what some people might say, it's what leaves the body or the soul. Well, the soul is energy. It's what, you know, it's, again, you've heard me say this on other podcasts, what makes somebody have a high energy day versus a low energy day? We've all said, whoo, I just have no energy today. I've got to sleep on the couch and just sleep on the couch all day. And then other people have high energy days and they've got all the energy in the world and they just want to go and paint the house, right? And then you've got people who will say, I need to eat. I'm low on energy. And so they realize that food is an external source of energy that when they put it into their body, it gives them energy, all right? Energy drinks, it's a thing. Not that I drink them, but, you know, for people who will take, again, something external from themselves and put it into themselves, it gives them energy. So I know at some level we can all wrap our heads around the ideas that we have an energy system in the body. We don't do a whole lot necessarily, some of us do. Not everybody does a whole lot to feed their energy body, meaning make sure you get enough sleep, make sure you get the right kind of food, make sure that you are, what you're putting into your system is going to help increase your voltage, for lack of a better way of putting it. So if we are, and I'm going to give you a little bit of an example just for those of you who are listening to this and you're wanting a little bit more science. We've been measuring this, we being researchers, scientists in the United States have been measuring this for 100 years now. In the 1920s and the 1930s, Harold Saxon Burr, that's capital B-U-R-R, was a distinguished researcher at Yale University of Medicine. And back in the 1920s and the 1930s, Harold Saxon Burr suggested that diseases could be detected in the energy field of the body before physical symptoms appeared. Now, these concepts clearly were way ahead of their time. Back in the 1970s, David Cohen from MIT, using a squid, S-Q-U-I-D, magnetometer, I'm going to spell that, M-A-G-N-E-T-O-M-E-T-E-R, magnetometer, I've never seen one in person, he confirmed that we had heart measurements. By 1972, Cohen had improved the sensitivity of his instrument, and he was allowed then to measure magnetic fields around the head produced by brainwave activities. Fast forward a little bit longer. Subsequently, it's been discovered all organs, all tissues produce specific magnetic pulsations. And it is those specific magnetic pulsations which have come to be known as the biomagnetic fields. Okay, so for quite some time, scientists have been working to show that not only do we have an energy system, but that that energy system helps us stay balanced, well, centered, healthy, if you will. Now, I know that that's a leap for some of you not so much, but I wanted to have you think of things in terms of electricity, right? So if you think of, you know, the power lines that are canvassing cities and states, and through every single power line, there's electricity that is passed through the wire. So this statement is pulled off of NRG.com. The name of the article is Transmission, Congestion, and Constraints. And the article starts off by saying that electrons move across power lines similar to cars down a road. In both cases, congestion occurs when too many converge on the same path. Traffic jams are frustrating, but electricity congestion can be costly and may even cause power outages. Anybody that lives in California knows what that means. We've all suffered power outages around here. Some have been scheduled, some have been spontaneous, but basically it's when there is a backup in the electrical grid. And I know that that's an oversimplification of statements, but I'm trying to keep it as lay terms as possible. So if we know that electricity can get backed up in an electricity system causing power outages, and the congestion can also cause monetary problems. If you're not efficiently moving electricity down the wire from point A to point B, and you're not getting the best transmission of that electricity, it can be costly from the user's perspective, moving electricity, detouring electricity, moving electricity back and forth. So if we know all of those things to be true with an electricity grid or an electrical grid, then why can't we take that same concept and apply it to our own human systems as energy beings? Okay, so that being said, if we know that science is continuing to get instrumentation sensitive enough to be able to measure different parts of the systems, we're starting to find fewer and fewer places to hide as far as, yes, of course, we're electrical beings or energy beings that for a long time people didn't want to hear that, this whole idea of us being energetic. But I think more and more, especially the more that science is able to back it up, that we're starting to go, okay, I get it. So back to my original point, if we are energy beings, and like all electrical systems or all systems can get congested, we are physical beings, we get congested, we can get congested in the stomach, we can get congested in the sinuses. Our life can get congested. It's when there's just too much to do and the pathway just isn't big enough to fit all of the stuff coming through. Wouldn't that apply to energy? So my answer to that is yes, yes, and yes. Yes, that applies to energy. So if you think of energy, any type of energy, if you think of energy as an emotion, so E equals MC squared. Anybody that remembers seventh grade math remembers the term E equals MC squared. Energy is the E in E equals MC squared. Energy in motion stays in motion, right? Emotion, energy in motion. So if we think of emotion, we've all had emotions. We've all been happy. We've all been sad. We've all been upset. We've all been angry. We've all been terrified or at least afraid. That is all energy. Energy, E, wants to move. Motion, E, motion. Energy in motion. Energy wants to move, which means if you are experiencing something bubbling up in you and you suppress it or you distract yourself from feeling it, that energy is not in motion. That emotion is not moving. So if emotions are an electromagnetic event, think of it like a wave in the ocean. Emotions are generated. They rise like a wave would rise. They have a crest, and then they fall, and then they are recycled, okay? Emotions, if you allow an emotion to have that same process, emotions rise, they crest, they fall, and then they are recycled back in. A lot of times what happens is we will feel our emotions bubble up. They want to rise, but then we will push it down. Nope, boys don't cry. Nope, girls don't get angry. Nope, girls don't, whatever. We've all heard the term, you know, now's not the time. Tuck that away. We're going to sweep that under the rug. Don't cause a scene. Don't make a stink. Now, I'm not saying that we need to just be belligerent with our emotional outbursts inappropriately, but I feel very strongly that yes, maybe in the middle of the wedding that you are attending is not the time to have a loud, huge emotional outbreak while the couple in the front are trying to renew their vows or say their vows. But what I am saying is if you feel as though you have some pent up anger or some energy that is bubbling up that you need to experience all the way through the rise, the crest, the fall, and the recycle, that you need to honor that and you need to create space in your life for it. So what happens for a lot of people, the emotion will rise. It gets pushed down because we have been trained to push it down. And then that energy has to go find a place to live in the body. That energy has to go get rerouted to some other place in the body to live and be housed or harbored. And what happens is then that energy is living inside of you. It is using or sucking up or sequestering energy, which is therefore holding that energy in a separate system instead of you using it to your best and highest good. So the more energy that you suppress, the more vital life force that you are putting out of circulation, because you are trying to energize this whole other ball of energy that you have in your system. That energy is therefore being rerouted to another system, for just to use the analogy, instead of keeping in circulation for the whole system, which is you. So if you find, let's just say that you are so frustrated you could cry, or your feelings are so hurt that you could bust, or whatever. We've all been there. Anybody who's ever experienced anything past the age of 4, okay? Even 4-year-olds, 3-year-olds get frustrated, okay? 2-year-olds get frustrated. If you don't allow yourself to express it, that energy is going to live somewhere in your body, and the energy that is living somewhere in your body is taking valuable resources away from the main system. Yes, it's a simplified way of putting it. Yes, it might be hard for some people to wrap their head around that, but I can tell you, as somebody who does energy work, I bump into it all the time. So, obviously, I can give you a very careful example, no names obviously, and a very generic example, so that nobody feels as though I am divulging their personal stuff out here. But this is such a common thing that it probably happens 5-6 times a week at least, and I see about 5-6 people a day, sometimes more. So I have a client who is laying on my table. I am doing energy work on them, and then all of a sudden they will feel a severe heaviness in the throat. And they will ask me, "Where are you?" And I will say, "I'm across the room," or "I'm down by your feet." And they will say, "I literally feel like you have placed a great big heavy object on my throat." They will literally feel like there's just this heavy ball or heavy mass. And they go, "This goes beyond a lump in the throat. This is, I feel like you are literally, that you've just put something incredibly heavy down on my throat." And as they start to lay there, they might have a memory that they haven't thought of in 30 years. And they'll say, "Why am I remembering the time that I was, that this horrible thing happened to me and I tried to scream for help, but nobody could hear me? Or why am I remembering this thing? I haven't thought about that in 20 years. All of a sudden, the memory presents itself to them. And they start to go, "Oh, this is that energy from that moment way back in time. Oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh." And then they will feel the release. As we continue to do the energy work, they will feel the release. And they will say, "Holy cow, I feel like I can really breathe now. I feel like a weight has been lifted off my shoulders. I feel so relieved." And so for that person who just had that experience, it is profound. Now, if this person were to go home and tell a loved one who thinks energy work is nuts, this person who they are, you know, hearing this story from their loved one is going to do the eye roll, because you can't understand it unless it's happened to you. Like, that's, you know, it's like when somebody says, "I don't like the way that tastes," the first question out of somebody else's mouth is, "Well, have you tried it?" And if the answer is no, then how do you know that you don't like how that tastes? You haven't tried it yet. Or the example that I use all the time is, just because somebody's colorblind doesn't mean that blue and green don't exist. It just means they can't see it. So if you have had your own energy release experience, it's profound. For those of you who have not, you're taking my word for it. And trust me, I get why it sounds way, way out there. Unbelievable, in fact. So what I would say is, check it out for yourself. Obviously, do your homework. Make sure that you're going to somebody who has a good track record, a good reputation. Energy work, by the way, comes in all shapes and sizes. Yes, there's Reiki energy work. There's acupuncture. There's sound energy work. There's a ton of different things that you can do. So like I said, just do your homework. But at the end of the day, getting back to my energy congestion conversation, If you can find that all of a sudden, after laying down and getting some energy work, that you have this huge energetic congestion release in the throat or in the heart or in the back or in the head, then all of a sudden you have freed up an energy system that you have been holding, energy that you've been harboring. Guess what? It is now not taking valuable resources from your energy system anymore. Those energy systems are now, that extra energy is being recycled back into the body, and it is helping you to stay more balanced, more present, and feeding all of your systems the energy that they need to operate at their most efficient capacity. Again, I understand that this is probably feeling a little nuts. It's okay. What I'm asking you to think about goes beyond the boundary of mainstream thinking, at least for now. I think fast forward 20, 30 years from now, and this is going to be commonplace. Don't forget, there was a time when we thought, you know, that the earth was flat. And then we started to realize, no, there's a lot that we don't understand. And then there's, of course, not to get off topic, there's some people that actually have reverted back to thinking that the world is flat. And that's fine too. I have, you know, whatever your belief system is, but at the end of the day, just remember that just when we think we understand something, we realize that there's more to it. And then we need to expand our thinking even more. Science is always correcting itself. We used to think this, but now we know this. For the love of God, we thought that the earth was the center of the universe, and then it turned out that it was the sun. Okay, so what do we think we know for sure now that will eventually change in the future? A lot. So if we can say, all right, this is just another layer of understanding, thinking about our human bodies as energy bodies is another layer of understanding that will continue to expand and grow. That's great. Like I said, there's a lot more science being done around this whole field of work because it needs to be better understood. So as we begin to understand, okay, we have these energy bodies, and just like any electrical system, we want it to be efficient. We want it to move energy beautifully and efficiently from point A to point B without hitting blockades or roadblocks or congestion. Because when you start introducing blockades, roadblocks, congestion, you start getting backups. Things need to be rerouted, which means less efficiency. Things are stagnant, which means nothing's moving. And from an energetic perspective, when that starts happening, the body just doesn't operate as efficiently as it should. So when people come in and they get an energy session from me, and they'll walk out and they'll say, wow, it just feels so great. I just feel really, really great. They may not understand why. They may not understand the mechanics of it, but they can't argue that they feel great. And that is why they book again and again and again and again. So what I would like this podcast to remind everybody here to do is to, when those emotions come up, when you are feeling something bubbling up like a wave beginning to turn into a big wave that's going to crest, allow yourself to feel it. Allow yourself to not push it down. Allow yourself to not get distracted. If you are finding yourself trying to avoid grief by burying yourself in work, or trying to avoid grief by distracting yourself into something else so that you don't have to feel it, we don't want that energy backing up on you. We don't want that energy living as a separate system within your bigger system that's acting like a block or a blockade, because that's just going to hurt you. So find a time to grieve. Allow yourself to grieve. Allow yourself to feel it. Cry it out, talk it out, do whatever feels right to you to allow yourself to experience it. That goes with every emotion, not just grief. If you are overjoyed, feel overjoyed. How many people get so excited about something and they're like, but I don't want to jinx it. I don't want to be excited because I don't want to jinx it. Be excited. be excited. Try not to be attached to the outcome. That way you can just enjoy the experience of being excited. Enjoy the experience of feeling joy. You know, allow yourself to feel. If you're in love, say I'm in love. If you're angry, feel that anger, right? And then learn from it. And then let it crest. And then let it fall. And then let it recycle back into the system. The more that we suppress, the more we find that congestion backing up on us. And that is my hope for all of you, is that you allow yourself to experience more, express more of your emotions. Yes, it can be done quietly. Yes, you can take a couple days off work and then just allow yourself to feel what you're feeling and cry. That's all very healthy. That is what I'm looking for, because there's far too much stuff that my clients are feeling that is old. And they're tired of carrying it. They're tired of holding the baggage, carrying the baggage, and having it be a congestion in the system that then other things start to back up on. Okay, so thank you all for listening with both ears to this today. I hope that some part of it resonated with you. Again, at the end of the day, if this just didn't do it for you, I totally understand. I know it's a leap for a lot of you. But for those of you who really got something out of it, take it and run. All right, everyone. May the force be with you. Thanks so much for your time. And we will chat with you soon on another podcast. Have a good day.